on the tree. Amazing Casey, trace the note in the beat on the green. And the cross that draws where a burst of light, burden of the heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Dear Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. And the cross, that cross where I first saw light, burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day.
Amen. I want you to take your Bibles this morning. Turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 22. If you were not here last Sunday, you missed a great blessing, especially Sunday night. The Lord just hooked the Holy Ghost jumper cables up to us and charged our batteries up. And don't try to get the tape. You'd miss it. You'd have to have video. You wouldn't get it on an audio. But we had a great service. The Lord just blessed. And the next night, very next night, I was thinking, and God began to deal with my heart about a thought. And all week long, this thought's been on my heart. And I'd like to preach to you this morning what I believe the Bible's teaching about the day we're living in. I believe it. I'm convinced. And I do ask, I'll be brief this morning. I'm not going to speak from an outline. I'm just going to give you some thoughts just right off the top of my head. I got a few thoughts jotted down here, but I'm just going to tell you my own personal experience, how the world got in the mess it's in tonight, or this morning, and where are we on the calendar of God. I want to preach to you this morning on the subject, Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. The Lord is coming, folks. He's coming. You can feel it. There's an excitement in the air. There's never been a time like this time. Now, I know what about half of you sitting there thinking. You're sitting there thinking, oh, I've heard that. Mama and Papa used to talk about Jesus coming. He ain't never come yet. Yeah, but you know what that means? That means we're a lot closer to the coming of the Lord than Mama and Papa was. Now, I'm going to show you some things this morning that pinpoint from the Bible. If you're not narrow-minded, now, you can be narrow-minded. You can sit there and you can close your mind and you say, I'm not going to listen to the thing he says. He ain't going to change my mind. Because of two things. Either you've got your religion and you don't like nobody talking about your religion, or else you've got your sins and you don't want to quit your sins. And if you listen to what I'm going to say this morning, it would make you want to quit your sins. And rather than quit your sins, you just stay on in darkness and go right on living your life, reading your nasty books, doing your dirty things, drinking your liquor, smoking your dope. You had rather just stay in the dark than let somebody lead you out into the light. And that's your choice. You've got that choice. But woe unto you, friend, when the Lord really does come and you're left behind. In Revelation 22, Look what Jesus said in verse 12. Revelation 22 and verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, as we bow before you this morning, we pray that you illuminate our mind and loose our tongue to declare the Word of God this morning. Lord, we know we're living in perilous times. We know we're seeing a time that the world's never, ever seen. Oh, God, speak to our hearts through your Word. Show us through the Spirit of God that you'd have us to know. And those that are here this morning, unprepared to meet you, I pray they'd walk these aisles and trust Jesus as their Savior before it's too late. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to think on this thought a few minutes. Jesus is coming soon. I won't have time this morning to go into a great deal of detail about why I personally believe that the Lord is coming soon. There's a lot of background and a lot of Bible study and a lot of things. We could study the different views of the future. Every church you ever go to has a view of the future. They fall into basically three categories: premillennial, amillennial, postmillennial. Now that simply means there's going to be a millennium. The millennium is 1,000 years peace on this earth. Just about every denomination, the Catholic Church, the Presbyterian Church, the Methodist Church, the Baptist Church, all of those groups teach that there is going to be a time when Christ shall rule on the earth for 1,000 years. However, the difference comes over when that's going to take place and what is the Lord going to do before then. If you are a premillennialist, you believe, as I believe the Bible teaches, that Jesus will come before the millennium and that there can be no peace on this earth until the Prince of Peace comes and sits on the throne. If you are an amillennialist, you don't even believe there is a millennial. You believe it's spiritual, and the 1,000 years mentioned six times in the last part of Revelation simply refer to, quote, an indefinite period of time. You just say, millennium. You don't believe in it. If you are a post-millennium, you believe that we're going to get better and better and better and better and better and better, and we're going to bring in 1,000 years of peace on this earth before Jesus ever comes back down here. And that's what made the preacher say that he was so premillennial that he quit eating post toasties. Didn't even believe it was right anymore. Or wouldn't hardly go to the post office. He is supreme. Now, if among the premillennialists there are different views. There are what you call a pre-tribulation rapture premillennialist. You know what that is? That means this. That means the Lord could come at any second. That's all that means. In layman's language, that means the Lord could come right now at any second. Then you're going to have a period of 7 years on this earth called the Great Tribulation. Matter of fact, the last 3.5 years called the Great Tribulation. A period of 7 years. Now, of course, that's where we stand, what I believe the Bible teaches. Then, at the end of that 7 years, say right over at this first set of steps is the beginning of the 7 years. Right over here is the end of the 7 years. At the end of the 7 years, the Lord will come down with His saints that He took up over yonder and set up His kingdom on earth for a period of 1,000 years and rule, and that's called the Advent, the second coming of Christ in two parts. That's pre-tribulation, rapture, premillennial view. That means the Lord's coming for His saints here. He's coming with His saints there, like a big old seven. You see this big seven? It's going to start right here. It goes up. It goes over, it goes down. Now from where you're sitting, that would be a giant seven. He comes in the clouds, we go up to meet Him, we go over the great tribulation at the judgment seat of Christ, and down to the earth. There are some that believe that the Lord will come in the rapture in the middle of the tribulation.
That means we go through the first 3.5 years, then we go out here. That's what you call a ruptured rapture. And they think that we're going through half of it, then we're coming back down here with the Lord. There are those that have a post-tribulation rapture view of premillennial doctrine. And that means you're going through the whole tribulation to purify the church, and then the Lord's coming here. Now, so I won't confuse you, and we could study this all day long. So I won't confuse you. I'm preaching the Bible this morning from a pre-tribulation rapture premillennial view. That means at any second we could leave here. That means at any time right now while I'm preaching, the trumpet could sound and we could just scoot right on out of here and say goodbye, good riddance, Marion, North Carolina. And brother, just let whosoever will have the old building and do whatever they want to with it, and we'd go home to be with Jesus. And brother, that's exactly what is going to happen. Now, for you skeptics that may be here this morning, let me point out some things to you right quickly. There are those who would try to tell us, since there was false prophets come up in the early 1900s, that preached Jesus was coming, and Jesus didn't come. The founder of the Jehovah Witness Church, Watchtower Tract and Bible Society, old Pastor Russell, George, Judge Rutherford, and all them guys, they predicted the Lord was coming in 1911. When 1911 come and the Lord did not come, they said, well, made a little mistake there. It's actually 1914. 1914 rolled around. The Lord still did not come. They said, another error, it's 1925. And so they preached that the Lord was coming in 1925. There are all kinds of false prophets who popped up and said God had showed them that He was coming on a certain day, and the Lord never did come, not a time. And so that caused the general population of the country to adopt the idea that everybody who says the Lord's coming back is some kind of a wild-eyed crackpot fanatic who's got out of the insane asylum somewhere, who's, you know, running around beating his head on trees and seeing visions, and I started to say dreaming, but I don't say that. And they're having all kinds of visions and stuff as the Lord's specially talking to them. In short, they're crazy. But brother, they have adopted the idea that anybody who talks about the coming of the Lord is some kind of nut. Now you see what the devil has done. The devil brought up those false prophets in the early 1900s to confuse the issue and make the average man on the street so confused that when the signs really do appear and the Lord really is coming and God's men are preaching it all over the country, they'll sit back and say, yeah, they're just like that bunch of nuts back yonder in 1900. Let me tell you something this morning. The preachers who are preaching the coming of the Lord now are a lot different than the preachers that preached the coming of the Lord then. You better look at who's preaching it before you just mark it off as a bunch of wild-eyed, Bible-thumping, screaming, spitting, fanatical nuts. You better be real careful at what you're saying. And I'll tell you something else. You better be prepared to defend yourself against the Bible evidence that I'm going to give you this morning that Jesus Christ is coming soon. He'll be here very, very soon. You say, Brother Danny, what, no man knows the day or the hour. The Bible says nobody knows the day nor the hour when Jesus is coming. That's true. The Bible says that no man knows the days and the hour. But you get this real careful what I'm going to say. The Bible does not say that we won't know the times and the seasons. As a matter of fact, He said yourselves know perfectly of the times and the season. God's not left His children in the dark. Brother, God's letting the light shine in on those who believe. And the Lord's getting ready to step out on the cloud of glory and take us home. Now listen, I believe the last days, officially, the last generation, began in 1948. You say, why do you believe that? Listen very carefully. I'll bring you up to date from 1948 to 1986 and then on up to the year 2000. We can just shoot right past where we are right now. In 1948, something happened. You see, that was not going on when Judge Rutherford and Pastor Russell were preaching that stuff in 1910 and 1920. They didn't see happen what me and you have saw happen. In 1948, there was a flag went up. And it was the Israeli flag, and Israel, for the first time in something like two centuries, like 2,000 years, became a nation. Israel did not become a nation in 1700. Israel did not become a nation in 1800. Israel became a nation in 1948. Listen to me carefully, and may God open your eyes. In 1948, that little nation put up a flag. Did you know it is a modern day miracle that the Jews survived as a nation, as a people without a nation, all of those years? Now, Israel in the Bible is called the fig tree nation. They are pictured by the fig tree. Jesus Christ said, when the fig tree puts forth its buds, the flag went up in 1948. He said, when it begins to blossom, he said, this generation shall not pass until all be fulfilled. You and I are living in the first generation that's ever been since Jesus made that statement that the fig tree nation had begun to bud. And Bible preachers all over the country's heart about jumped out their throats in 1948 when that little flag went up. Now something happened in 1948. We kicked into high gear. We moved into the last stage. Shall I tell you folks what has happened to this country since 1948? Can I just hit the high spots? Up until 1948, we had never lost a war. Brother, we put our faith in God in World War I, World War II. Brother, we prayed and God delivered. And blessed was that nation whose God was the Lord. There was no such thing as people going out down here to the airport in Charlotte, getting on a jet and going to California. There was no such thing as public schools system as we know it today. The world has changed more in the past 30-something odd years than the last 1,000 years before that. These last 30-something. Shall I tell you what it is? All right, listen. You know what happened in 1950s, the early 1950s? Our nation, of course, got wet. And then we begin to vote, put our approval on alcoholic beverages. And then we begin to forget God, little at a time. Next thing you know, boy, here comes Bill Haley and the Comets and all of them boys and Perry Como, all of them, and old Elvis the Pelvis come on the scene. And when old Elvis the Pelvis come on, he got so vulgar and he got so obscene that the TV cameras would only show him from here up. Now, I don't remember that, but I've had a bunch of people tell me that. How many, anybody here remember that? James, I figured you would, brother. Y'all remember that? That they wouldn't show Elvis Presley. You know why? 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, bro. You know, all that kind of stuff, boy. And they started that, you know. And he started this, and he started that. And something happened to America. And then down through the 50s, we kicked into the next gear. Listen real carefully. You young people that want to know why your school and the shape it's in, listen real carefully and you're going to know. You'll never hear Walter Concrete talk about this. Dan Rather don't know the first thing about what I'm getting ready to say. They don't know it. I don't mean I'm any smarter than they are. I just read different books than they read. And brother, I believe in the Lord. And did you know that you'll never hear this? In 1962, you listening? In 1962, things begin to happen. There was no such thing as a public school that did not have a God-centered program. They prayed. They read the Bible. I remember when I was growing up in grade school, I was only, 9 years old at that time. When I was in the third and fourth grade, every morning when we went in our class, we opened up the Bible, we read scriptures, and brother, our teacher led us in prayer, and we would stand and put our hand over our heart and pledge allegiance to that flag. flag. We thought that America was something to be proud of, and we wanted to be proud to be called an American. How many of you remember going to school when every morning, now you kids, all you kids that's in school now, I'll show you something. How many of you people remember going to school when every day you had prayer and Bible reading in your classroom led by your teacher? Raise your hand. All right, don't you kids look around here. Hold them up now. You young people, look around here. That's what's wrong with the difference between the school you go to and the school your mamas and daddies went to. All right, put your hands down. In 1962, there was an old fat, demon-possessed woman up in Baltimore, Maryland. You hear what I said? Maryland. And brother, she got up there, and brother, she, her little old boy was about in the sixth grade, and she took him to school one morning. He'd been sick. And she took him about dinner time, or a little bit late, and she looked in the schoolroom, and they were praying inside and reading the Bible. She immediately, the demons just squirmed inside of her, and she grabbed her little boy and said, "How long they been doing that in there?" He said, "Mama, we do that every day." She said, "They'll not do it anymore. No child of mine's going to be in a school where they do that." And that one woman, Madeline Mary O'Hara, was full of the devil, went to the Supreme Court of America, put the pressure on the nation's Supreme Court, and one thing led to another, and to another, and to another, and as a result, the Supreme Court of America officially voted to kick God and His Word out of our school system. They said, "We no longer need you. I know our nation was founded upon these principles. The first school was in the house of God. They had they used the church house for the schoolroom. But we no longer need you, God. We no longer want your word. We don't want that Bible in our schoolroom." And today in America, if a teacher has prayer with his class, they can be fired and lose their job. It is against the law in America to put up a copy of the Ten Commandments in the public schoolroom. Y'all listening? It's against the law. When that happened? 1962 and 1963. After the Supreme Court passed that law, 6 months later, the nation was brought to its knees mourning the death of a dead president with a bullet through his head down in Dallas, Texas. And we cried out and we said, "Oh God, why'd you let this happen? Oh God, why is all these terrible things happening?" About that time we integrated the schools. I don't, in the situation our country was in at the time, there wasn't hardly much else it could do, but brother, we made a bad mistake there years ago too. It never has been God's plan to mix up races. Y'all listen to me this morning, ain't you? Now I'll lose a bunch of you out of the boat right here if you're prejudiced. But if you got half cockeyed sense, you'll listen to me this morning. I don't believe in any race is any better than anybody else's race. I don't believe a white man's better than a black man, or a black man's worse than a yellow man, or a green man's worse than a purple man. I'm just saying God put the races where He wanted them. He placed them on different continents. And brother, we messed up when we said what we're going to do is we're going to change these folks and make them like our kids and bring them up to our standards. Instead of them bringing them up to our standards, we went down to theirs. Amen? I'm not speaking as a prejudiced person. I'm speaking the facts. That's my job. And brother, I'm telling you, and now we have in America, we have African morals, we have African music. That's what rock music is. It's African jungle beat from the jungle. And now we have African diseases. I can't hear you. That's why we're in the shape we're in this country. I said you'd never hear this on the news. You won't. You say, "What happened after that, preacher?" That very year, 1963, there's four old mop-headed boys fornicators, dope eaters, sex lovers. They had orgies. They eat dope like eating a bowl of cereal in the morning. Came over here from Liverpool, England. And say what you want to, son. This country never been the same since. I remember when I was a 10-year-old boy sitting in our house down in Hoppy Tom in front of a little old black and white television that was so snowy you couldn't even hardly see the picture on Sunday evening, and sitting there, an old stiff neck Ed come out. And he come out there and he said, "All right, ladies and gentlemen, here they are, the Beatles." And he done like that, boy. That's way down. I remember him doing that. And some of them big curtains rolled up like that. And there they was. Let me speak right. She loves you, yeah. And that's the way they done. And boy, that all they want to sing about was twist and shout. And I want to do this and I want to do that. And people, listen to me. Hey, we just got through saying, "God, we don't want you in our school no more." We just got through saying, "The Bible ain't wanted around here. Get it out." The Supreme Court voted to change our nation. And brother, they come over here singing. And brother, when you reject the God of this Bible, you will get you another God. A man's got to have a God. And when they sat away with the Bible, they said, "All right, come over here." And the pit of hell opened up. And the demons and the dogs and the birds and the bees begin to march out of hell, and they slaughtered and raped this generation and fed them with a new morality. And that's what got us started in the mess we're in this morning. I remember that. I remember seeing the girls pull their hair out. I remember every boy in my class started combing their hair right straight down and just pulling it, trying to get it to be a little longer. I remember the rebellion starting in our classroom. When I was in the seventh grade, you know what you got a whipping for? Your shirt tail out. Getting out of line. Boy, you know what happened? I ain't got time to go into a big long thing about that, but other things begin. During this time, by the way, and I'm going to inject this in a minute, somebody invented something about 1940-something. It's called a computer, but we'll forget about that for now. We'll come back to that in a minute. 1969, something else happened. I told you about 62, 63, 64, on down through there. They said, "We don't want God no more. We kicked your Bible out. We kicked your morals out. We kicked your name out. And now we don't want the church telling us what to do." They call it the new morality, which really means no morality. The new morality is the same as the old immorality. Don't let nobody kid you. That means live like a dog, rape every girl you can find, go naked, shoot up dope, do whatever you want. And when they say tell it like it is, that's the way they want you to talk. That means no regard for anybody's feelings. That means it don't matter whose home you break up, just as long as you're satisfied and just as long as you enjoy yourself and have a big time in life. That's what that means. That's what new morality means. Kill anybody to make myself happy. Brother, in 1969, something happened that had never happened before in the history of the world. They shot a little thing out there in outer space. And a man was on that thing named Armstrong. Ain't that a weird name for the first man to step his foot on the moon? Armstrong. Somebody said they sent the wrong Armstrong to the moon. Ought to give that other guy a one-way ticket. Left him up there. But did you know they... Neil, was that his name? He went up there, and brother, he circled around that thing and landed on the moon. Now, there's a lot of people that don't believe they really went to the moon. I got kin folks up north, they don't believe they went to the moon. Oh, you ain't telling me that they didn't go to no moon. You know, they just went out there in the desert and put on a big stage thing and everything, fooled us to rip us off $2 or $3 billion. You know, to be downright honest with you, I wouldn't put it past them. Would you? You know, them old mountain people may be more right than we think they are. One old farmer said, they didn't go to no moon. I seen that on TV. I went out and looked. Moon wasn't even out that night. But anyway, they went up there and they landed that capsule on the moon, and Neil Armstrong went out of there and he went, wow! First time in history. First time in history. I ain't talking about 1600. I ain't talking about 1700. I ain't talking about 8. I'm talking about 1969. And he put his foot down, and you know what he said? You know what the moon is in the Bible? A type of the church. I ain't got time to tell you why. Take a few minutes. But that's what you get for not coming here regular. The moon in the Bible is a type of the church. When man stepped his foot on there, he said, one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. And that was symbolic of the world putting its foot on the church, saying no longer is the church telling us what we're going to do. You're not going to tell us we have to have a marriage license to live together. You're not going to tell us that we're profane and we're ugly. We have our own definition of sin now. God is dead. And about that time they formed the God is dead movement.
I know God ain't dead, but there's a lot of people thinks He died back there.
I know God ain't dead because if He died, who was the coroner? You think it's Quincy or somebody? Went up there and made the pronouncement and saw that He's officially dead. Who done it? Where'd they get a box big enough to bury Him? The heavens can't contain God. I'll tell you, brother, God ain't dead because it's always a custom when a person dies to notify the next of kin. Amen. And brother, I'm his son. I ain't been notified that my father's died. Have you? Amen. I believe we'd be the first to know it. If our father died, he wouldn't tell a bunch of devils that didn't even believe in him.
God ain't dead. He's looking at you right now. Guess what? When that happened, Don McLean and them, they had Woodstock, first rock concert. Don McLean began to sing a song called American Pie. Remember that? Bye, bye, Miss American Pie. You remember the old saying that people used to have, don't tell me that pie in the sky in the by and by. Ooh. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And three old boys drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this'll be the day that I die.
Have you ever heard that song? Raise your hand. Now, I used to listen to that a lot when I never did like it, but it had a catchy little tune. You know, bye, bye. That's elevator music nowadays. You just hear it by orchestra or something in Sky City. You know, it's in restaurants or something. Like that. Oh, you don't hear the word. Do you know what that song was saying? That song was saying that God was dead and that rock music was taking over the world. That's what that song said. They said that gospel music had died. You remember the verse that said, I went down to the sacred store where I'd heard the music gospel played before, but the man there said the music wouldn't play. The church bells all were broken. The three men I admired the most, the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, they took the last train for the coast the day the music died. And they were singing, bye. You know what happened to them? They were saying, God's dead! God's dead! We got rid of His Bible! We got rid of His Word! We got rid of His song! We got rid of His church! We stepped on the church! We mashed our trash and our beer cans on the church's face! And now the new generation has arrived. That's why I just read in the paper this week that a baby down in Pensacola, Florida, eat crack. Of course, it didn't kill it. They saved it. It's alive right now. But that's why I heard in South Carolina, 8 out of 11 children left in a house by themselves burned to death just the other day. Y'all heard about that on the news. And they left 11 young'uns in a house. And it was so cold, it was sub-freezing. The fire went out in the wood stove. The kids put gasoline on the fire to keep from freezing to death. And it burned 8 of them up. The oldest was 11 years old. The baby was 2 years old. While mom and daddy and her was out gallivanting all over creation and burned them to death. And the 11-year-old boy went and saved 2 or 3 of the babies. And then he burned to death going in after the last. That's why in Lewistown, Montana, a 40-year-old school teacher not long ago was shot and killed by a 14-year-old freshman boy because she gave him an F on his French. Murder! Of course, he got the wrong one. She was a substitute. That's why in Georgia, a 13-year-old boy stabbed the principal. They're putting out in USA Today, they're running articles on what we're going to do about violence in America's school system. You get shot. They quoted one teenage girl in high school as saying, quote, "I'm scared, very scared." There was 450,000 violent crimes committed in the public school system last year. And the authorities are saying, why? I'll tell you why. There's no government. You kick the law out. You said, do what you want to, kids. If there's nothing right and wrong, what's the matter with somebody stabbing the principal? And then the computers begin to come back. What if Jesus come back this morning? You know what most of you do? You'd be like that fella. If Jesus is coming back this morning, all of a sudden everybody in Marion find out about it, 2 minutes later, son, they'd be running in them doors over top of each other. It'd be like that fella that went to the drive-in theater, took his gun, he went in there and he got on the microphone. Son, he's mad. He went there and said, "All right, you sorry, no good, blankety blank. But I know you're out there with my wife, and I'm gonna come out there and blow your head off." And 43 cars left out of the parking lot. That's the way most people be right now if they thought Jesus is coming in a few minutes. You listening? Let me tell you this, and I'll be through. The first computer they ever had was big as this, long as this building here. 30, 40 years ago. They began to work on them thing, man, them little Chinese, we was talking about them the other day. I don't see how they can see them little things. They put magnifying glass on them, they went to work, and brother, they got them now, they got computers now as big as a dime. Now the Bible said that during this time, when we go out, there's going to be an Antichrist come, and you know what he's going to do? He's going to make everybody take a mark. Revelation 13, read it in your Bibles when you get home, and it said that he will cause everybody to take a mark in their right hand or their forehead. You say, what's that got to do with it? I'm saying computers, for the first time in history, have made that possible. This didn't happen in 1800. This didn't happen in 1925. This didn't happen in 1950. This didn't happen until the past 5 or 6 years. A generation, according to some Bible scholars, if don't nail it down the Bible, is 40 years, some believe 2, some 48, some 50. If a generation in the Bible is 40 years and it started in 1948, what's 1948 and 40? 88. That means less than a year and a half that we've got until 40 years since Israel shot up her flag. You say, well, Brother Danny, if I really believe that, if I, Lord, we'd be out here burning the countryside up. That's it. Yep. That's it. Some people think I'm just out running all over the country preaching because I ain't got nothing better to do. Brother, yeah, I could stay here and do work all over. You know how come I'm running my legs off going by? I believe he's coming soon. You say, well, he might not. He might not. But then again, he might. These computers came out. They have developed computers this morning that take a man that's been in prison and on probation, and they can cut his skin and slip it up under his skin. Listen real carefully, no talking. Slip that thing up under his skin, and the security patrol can keep tabs on him wherever he goes. They already have what they call speaking computers. They have biological computers at the drawing boards. That means one that can reproduce, or not reproduce, but make themselves. And Dr. McClear, who speaks for some organization, there's an organization called DIAN. And that stands for Direct Information Access Network of Europe. Sounds to me like great is Diana of the Ephesians. And they have computers now. The Computer Digest states that in 1/2 second they can debit 2,000 checks to 300 different bank accounts. They can run 2,000 checks to 300 bank accounts in 1/2 second. That's swift, you know it. They can examine 1,000 electrocardiograms, you know, for hospital patients, or score 150,000 answers on 3,000 exam tests, or figure the company payroll for 1,000 employees in 1/2 second. Mr. Henry Spock, one of the organizational leaders in Brussels, has stated, quote, "We do not want another committee. We have too many already. What we want is a man of sufficient stature to hold the allegiance of the people and to lift us out of the economic morass into which we are sinking. Send us such a man, and be he God or the devil, we will receive him." Now, Jesus said, "I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive." The world right now is ready for the Antichrist. That's what made Mary Tyler Moore have a TV special not too long ago, where a guy in a devil suit with 666 on his shirt came out and danced across the stage. That's what makes them print 666 on the license plate of all the Arabs in Israel today. That JCPenney, Sears, all these, the number 666 keeps popping up. And they think, well, it's a round number that will figure into the hundreds of billions of trillions. But that's what God prophesied in the Word of God. He said when he's come, he'll cause all to receive a mark. Did you know right now you ain't nothing but a number anyway? And they've got your number too, son. And the big computers in this country, they know where you live, they know where you work, they know how much money you make, they know how old you are, they know who your parents were, they know who your wife or husband is. They've got your number right now. They're going to say, "We need to get rid of all these expenses to bring our country out of the economic slump. We need to get rid of cash." So, it's costing thousands and thousands, millions of dollars to print checks. If they could quit printing checks, wouldn't that save a lot of money? And printing new dollar bills where people lose them, throw them away, hides them, buries them. And they say we need to stop prostitution. We need to stop the drug traffic. We need to stop all these things. And Mr. Smooth's going to come out. He's going to say, "I've got a plan that can do all of this." We need to issue a credit card to everybody and do all our business accounts by credit card. How many of you people in here have got a letter from your bank in the past 2 or 3 years wanting you and encouraging you to go direct deposit? That means when you make your money, instead of getting your check like you always do, they deposit immediately in the bank, and then you make drafts off of it in the bank. It goes direct to that. How many have received a letter like that? Look around here and raise your hand. What they're doing is they want you to put your money immediately in the bank. And you know, I just don't like it. Lord, help. I got kids. If I work for it all week, I at least got to hold it a minute or two. Here it goes, you know. I mean, they won't even give it to you no more. And they'll say, we'll give you a credit card. And when you go to the grocery store to buy some groceries, you've got $100 in the bank. You push your cart around, and some women can push those carts through those things at speeds of over $55 an hour. And brother, you come around through there, and you pull up to the cash register, and you come out, and they total up your groceries, and your groceries are $50. You hand them your card, they stick it in there, and I was buying my wife a Christmas present the other day, and they had this little gun, and it went. I mean, I never even touched it. I just shot it. And it come up on there what the price was. Y'all seen all them little lines? All them little lines they put on the back of stuff. It's on everything in the store. That wasn't there 10 years ago. It's shaping up. The picture's fitting. Well, anyway, they're going to try to give you a card. They're going to say, then you do all your business with a card. But there's only one problem with that. You lose your card. Or somebody steals it and goes buy a bunch of stuff before you can cancel it. So you know somebody's going to have this great idea, and they're going to say, I know what let's do. Let's put it on you, invisible, in your hand, maybe on your head. And when you go, your number will be like 666-110, I think it's the new United States trade number. They knew not till the flood came. You take the average guy out here in McDowell County, he don't have one idea in the world what I'm talking to you about this morning. They don't even know it. I dare you, get out there and ask the first 10 people on the streets you meet about what I'm telling you this morning and see if they can give an answer. And we're in the Bible Belt! And they're going to say, put it on them. Brother, that mark means doom to your soul. We are living in the first, you listening to me? I'm closing. We're living in the first 25 years of human history that all this could happen. There's no such thing as satellite TV, VCRs. Plane trips to get you to California in 3 hours. You can eat breakfast in one city and lunch in Miami and supper in New York. The world's getting smaller and smaller, so one man can take over. Did you know they're making predictions now that a computer's figured out the Bible, you know? They're saying that in 1987, the spirit of John F. Kennedy is going to return. Really? And inhabit the new president's coming up. They're going to say a world leader is going to come on the scene, and he's going to be assassinated and killed. This is
This is in secular magazine, folks, and he's going to be assassinated and killed, and then the spirit of the devil is going to come into him while millions watch on national TV. Ain't that wild? We're at the jumping off place. Wake up! Wake up! If you're here this morning and you're not sold out to the Lord Jesus, I've not even scratched the surface of what's going on. I could continue tonight. Might even do it. Next Sunday. Preach 2 or 3 weeks on the things that are going on right now. Pointing you were in the last days. But you know what? You're just like a person in the bed asleep at night. That's what you're like. And I'm coming in there and it's about 5:30 in the morning and ain't got daylight yet. And I'm saying, get up! And you're going, what's that racket I hear? Wake up, man! The house on fire! Get out for your life! And you're saying, I'm going to sleep a few more minutes. I just can't get up. You're just lolling around in your sleep. Won't let the Lord wake you up. Please, don't let that day come upon you unawares. There's people in here that used to serve God, used to be on fire for God. Now you're just as blind as a bat spiritually. You have no discernment. You can't even feel it when I'm talking to you this morning. God has deserted you as far as your blessings are concerned. I'd be running to the altar this morning and asking God to open my eyes by you. First thing you know, it'll be too late. Let's bow our heads. Every head bowed and every eye closed, we're going to pray. You cannot blame anybody else for not living for Jesus. You can't blame nobody else for not witnessing. You can't point your finger and say, well, somebody done this and somebody else done that and somebody didn't do this and Brother Danny wasn't this and this. You can't blame nobody. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. Ready or not, He's coming. He's knocking at your heart's door. If you're here this morning and you don't know for a fact, if Jesus come this morning, some's already coming to the altar this morning. God may be dealing with you. Young man, teenager, don't walk out these doors. It'll be too late one of these days. Just come on, get out of your seat right now and come to Jesus. That's right, come on. Come on, let God save you this morning. Hallelujah, go to heaven with us. God wants to do a work in your life this morning, my friend. Somebody else need to come? Just get up right now. Get up out of your seat and come right now. Get up out of your seat and come right now. Get up right now and come. Come on. Come on to Jesus. Don't be so blind, friend. Don't be so blind. Don't be so blind. We're in the last days just as sure as you're sitting in that seat. Just as sure as your name's what it is, we're in the last days. Hey, we're there, brother! We're there! I challenge anybody in here, come up here and show me something in the Word of God, in the Bible, that has to take place before Jesus comes. We're there. We're there. Anybody else? Get up out of your seat. Come right now. Get up! Get up right now! Join these on the altar. Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. One of these days it'll be too late. That's right. Come on. Come on. Let God speak to your heart. Keep coming. Keep coming. Let God deal with your heart. Amen. Amen. Come on. Amen. Here comes some more. Let God speak to your heart today, friend. Let Him speak. Let Him speak to you. Amen. Dear Lord, do what needs to be done this morning. There's many here this morning, the words of Jesus just roll off their back like water off a duck. God, somehow wake them up. Somehow get their attention. Somehow let them come to you before it's too late. Thank you for what you're doing now. Continue to move in this invitation. Help those that are holding back. Oh God, break down stony hearts and stubborn wills. Help them all to realize they're going to stand and face a holy God one day. Get right with you this morning before it's too late. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing just as I am without one plea. That thy blood was shed for me. O Lamb of God, I come. If you need to come, come right now. Come on. Just Come on right now. Just get out of your seat and come. Get out of your seat and come right now. Come on. Come on right now. Come on right now. You don't know you're saved. Just before we sing this second verse, listen to me just a moment. There's only two kinds of people in here. Them that's saved, them that's lost. Everybody in here would either go if Jesus come right now, or else you'd be left behind. That's something you're going to have to settle as an individual yourself. I can't settle that for you. It's something that you can't just ignore and maybe it'll go away. Everybody's got to face it sooner or later. You've got to. Why not do it this morning? While the arms of mercy are still open. While the Lord stands, said whosoever will. God's gave you a church like this where you can come and have, they have invitations and they preach the Bible and they believe it. And people, God's done everything except make you get saved. He gives you an opportunity. Do you realize that what we've talked about this morning, about 90% of the world has no idea whatsoever? They don't even know it. Oh, preacher, that stretched me. I dare you to go up and start asking. They don't even know. God's let you know. God's let you hear. You'll get an account for it one day. You've been raised in church. You're going to give an answer to God one of these days why you ain't living for it. We're going to sing one more verse. Don't put it off. This might be the most important next few minutes of your whole life. Come on. Come on right now. Come on right now. Don't wait. Don't wait. Praying, the musicians are playing. Those are supposed to join the church. I have talked to some people about joining the church this morning, I believe. Would y'all come on right quick, whoever it was? Tim. Y'all come on right quickly. We always talk to folks before they join the church. We're supposed to. And so anytime when you're interested in joining the church, just let me know. We'll talk about it. Give you a chance to come. First, Brother Tim here, and he was not able with his family last week when they joined. Brother Tim wants to join the church this morning. Someone will make the motion. Second, all in favor, let me know an uplifted hand. Amen. And then we have Kathy, Chris, Greg. Okay, I'm sorry, I forgot his name there. But they've been coming for a long time, just like one of us. And we'll take them both together, both been saved. Want to join the church, so I'm going to make the motion. Motion, second. All in favor, let me know an uplifted hand. We'll give you a chance to come around and shake these folks' hand. Come back tonight and bring somebody with you. Don't forget, we're having youth choir practice at 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock this evening. Youth choir. We got to get ready for our big youth meeting. Youth meeting is Saturday night at 7 o'clock. All the young people, teenagers that you can possibly get them here this Saturday night at 7 o'clock, okay? We're going to feed them at 6 up in the old auditorium, then have service here at 7, just like we did last time. You'll really enjoy it, I'm sure. Amen. God bless you. You're at liberty to go.